Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'nasan lanu es toraso. Baruch atah Adonai, nosein ha'torah. Amen. That's me at my bar mitzvah service at a modern Orthodox synagogue on the Upper West Side, singing the traditional blessing during my aliyah, or honorary call-up to the Torah, our holy book. Well, that statement isn't completely accurate. The recording is actually a reenactment from a few weeks ago, since using electronics like an audio recorder on Shabbos or Shabbat, the Jewish holy day, are not allowed. Still, you get the idea. At my bar mitzvah, my dad, grandpa, and uncle were all given an aliyah, but my mom and my grandma, neither of them got one, because it's not allowed. In the Orthodox denomination of Judaism, women do not receive aliyahs, read from the Torah, or lead the service. In fact, women sit in an entirely different section of the synagogue than men do. So while I sat with my dad on Saturdays at services, my mom sat all the way on the other side, hidden by a curtain. So why exactly do women have such a limited role in the service? Here's Rabbi Mintz with the answer.
The root of the laws, the gender laws, the rules about women, come from the fact that actually don't come from the Torah itself, but rather come from the rabbis. And the rabbis introduce the idea that any law that is time limited, women are exempt from. So therefore, listening to the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, women are not obligated in, because since it can only be done on a certain day of the year, so therefore women are not obligated. Same thing with sitting in the sukkah on the holiday of Sukkot. Women are exempt because that is a time-limited commandment. And the truth of the matter is that prayer is also limited in the sense that you have to pray in the morning, the afternoon, and at night. And women cannot participate or count in a minyan and in a group, a quorum of 10, because since they're not actually obligated in prayer, so therefore they're not allowed to count for the quorum that creates a prayer group. That's also the reason they're not allowed to be called to the Torah, and that's also the reason that they're not allowed to lead the service. So it's a rabbinic rule which separates men from women based on their obligations.
So why exactly was there a difference in obligations?
The theory is that the reason women are exempt from time-related commandments is because traditionally women were at home with the children. And since they were at home with the children, their time was not their own, meaning that the children needed to, you know, go to the doctor or, you know, needed to be put to bed or whatever it was. So women, since that was their responsibility, so therefore they couldn't be responsible to fulfill commandments that were time-related.
Well, regardless of where the rules themselves come from, the bottom line is that they exist, and they don't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon. Recently, I realized that I've never asked my mom or any of the many professional women in the modern Orthodox community, for that matter, how they felt about women participating in the service. So, last week, I did just that. Here's what my mom had to say.
In terms of participating in a modern Orthodox service, I don't feel comfortable because I don't feel prepared. I haven't been trained in the same way that my husband has been trained. I was recently at a service where I was tapped on the shoulder and offered an aliyah, and I declined because I was not comfortable. I didn't feel like I was prepared to do it. I wasn't sure I was going to do it properly. I'm happy, you know, having said that, I'm happy for other women doing it if they are so inclined. I don't object to women participating in the service. In fact, I have been to several services where women actually read from the Torah, had beautiful voices, and made for a lovely service. So I can sit back and enjoy listening to women who participate, but it's not right for me, as I just feel like I'm out of my element.
Despite being okay with a lesser participation, my mom isn't a fan of the mechitza, or the partition that separates the women's section from the men's?
I much prefer being with my family. I believe that going to a religious service is something to share with your family. And my husband and son sit on the other side of the mechitza, and I'm alone. I remember my childhood. I grew up in a conservative synagogue, and I liked sitting in between my mother and father. And my father would often help me with the service and explain where we were. And if I lost my place, he would always get me back on track. So I felt like it was more inclusive, being able to sit with my family.
As for my mom's friend, Lori, while she's had a very successful career and has embraced the progress that's been made for women since her mother's generation, she'd rather stay traditional when it comes to religion because she sees it as a deeply emotional way of connecting to past generations.
For me personally, religion is more based on tradition, and I view it more of a link to generations of the past. And of course, my mom and my grandmother did not participate in the service. So, and there's many times even that we do things and then we're faced with a question as to why we do it. And sometimes I'm stumped and I just say, well, of course, that's the way that my mom did it, or that's the way that her grandparents did it. And it's so much of it is this connection to the generations.
Because of this, Lori herself, much like my mom, doesn't feel comfortable with the idea of participating more in the prayer service, despite respecting other women who might want to take a more active role.
I respect the fact that some women might want to participate in the service and to have aliyahs or to lean. But for me personally, I'm not comfortable with it. As much as I respect the fact that other women would want to have an aliyah or would want to wear a tallis, I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to say, there's times I feel uncomfortable when I see a woman up there wearing a tallis. It feels so foreign to me. There's been certain simchas that we've been invited to on a Shabbos, and even though it's been in walking distance, we've had to really contemplate if we wanted to participate and to go to it. And that I should say that was also during a time that I was saying Kaddish for my mom, and I just really didn't know if I would kind of emotionally feel the same connection.
Interestingly, unprompted at the end of our interview, just as I was putting the recorder away, Lori seemed to get at the central premise of this piece.
So what's happened is that the role of women in society has evolved, right, from one generation to the next.
Yeah.
And me, I'm still looking at it from the standpoint that I want to keep the traditions from the prior generations. However, now I'm obviously somebody who is active in the workforce and somebody who has a leadership role in an organization, a corporate organization, where I feel, of course, that there should be equality between men and women across the board.
Ultimately, while Lori may personally prefer a more traditional, modern Orthodox setting, her and her husband Peter had no problems with the idea of their daughter choosing a more progressive setting where she could have an increased role in the service. Here's Peter to elaborate.
One thing we tried to teach her, whether it's through school or other things as well, is that she can do what she wants to do and what she's comfortable doing. And we have encouraged her or left it open to her that if she wanted to explore a conservative or other aspect where she could be more participatory, if that was something she wanted, that we are open to her, you know, experiencing that. And so it just goes back to what she's comfortable with.
It turns out that what she's most comfortable with is a modern Orthodox service.
And it seemingly is that she's taking the same approach as Lori, where it's an emotional attachment to the prior generations, and she's comfortable and happy in the setting that she's in.
My mom's other friend, Susan, had a similar experience with her daughter, while her two boys were the ones who ended up joining less observant denominations of Judaism.
You know, we teach our children that they should be open, that they should think for themselves. So it's very difficult then to say to a child, okay, well, you have to follow this path of religious Jewish life. It's really up to them. I have three children. My daughter is the only one that is Orthodox, and she's the one who basically went on a break when she was in college. She participated in no Jewish activity. She was in a Jewish sorority, but that was about it. So you never know what sparks, an interest, and what your children end up doing is really up to them.
Rabbi Mintz has a theory for why today's newest generation of modern Orthodox women are choosing to stay within the community as society itself continues to head in the direction of increased equality for women. And of course, it goes back to the idea of tradition.
I think generally people stay within their religious group. I think that's true in all religions. Because there's a certain allegiance, loyalty to parents, to grandparents. You want to stay in the same place in religion. It's basically based on my thing that I said before. Religion tends to be traditional rather than revolutionary. People don't want it. They may be revolutionaries, but not in their religion.
While modern Orthodox women may not necessarily want to be revolutionaries with respect to religion, several Jewish communities have emerged out of modern Orthodoxy with the goal of giving women the opportunity to participate while maintaining the traditions and feel of a modern Orthodox service. One of these communities, located just a few blocks from my apartment on the Upper West Side, is called Darchei Noam.
Darchei Noam, which is run by men and women equally, they figured out a way to have women participate. It's still not a participation as men, but it is a participation. And actually, Darchei Noam has spread a little bit. There are several communities in New York and in America that have these services. There's at least one in Israel, and I think many more in Israel.
A service like Darchei Noam gives women the opportunity to lead parts of the service, get an aliyah, and even read from the Torah. For Susan, a member at Darchei Noam, letting women read from the Torah is especially important.
For me, it's very personal. It's if you believe that it's the Word of God and you're touching the Word of God and you're reading from a scroll that has been read by, a generation or generations of people, it's a very personal kind of thing. And to exclude women from that practice, is kind of absurd.
When I asked Susan if she thought services like Darchei Noam were seen as problematic by modern Orthodox rabbis, she shrugged off the idea.
I think the fact that I go to Darchei Noam and several of my friends do, people who also go to my Orthodox synagogue, I think that it relieves the pressure from the rabbis. It's like when you want to get your pluralistic fix, you go there, and you could go to more than one shul. So I think that the rabbis actually enjoy that because they don't then have to try to figure out how to make you happy within the Orthodox framework.
I think that's why Darchei Noam plays a very important role. Not all women are interested, but I think we need a place for women who are interested. The thing is that it's kind of, there's some people would say that Darchei Noam is not Orthodox. Services like Darchei Noam, which are basically Orthodox egalitarian services, even though they're based on a technical reading of Jewish law, the traditional Orthodox tend to reject Darchei Noam as being a manifestation of Orthodoxy. Because the traditional Orthodox, which is basically run by the men, want to have a traditional service where women do not participate in the service.
Regardless of communities like Darchei Noam, the Orthodox still don't allow women to be rabbis. The Reform and conservative movements of Judaism have had female rabbis for years, but the Orthodox still haven't budged very much, if at all, on the matter. Was there some sort of rule specifying that rabbis must be men?
It's not written that women are not allowed to be rabbis. Traditionally, women have not been leaders. Judaism in the old days had kings and not queens. And that seems to have kind of followed through that Jews, that the Jewish community, the Jewish people, the leadership is a male leadership. That's probably based on tradition, not only a Jewish tradition, but generally a tradition. The question about whether women can be rabbis is really a question of tradition. There's nothing in Jewish law that prohibits women from being rabbis. But women were never rabbis. And most of the traditional rabbis will say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think that's really the reason that women are not rabbis.
So does this mean that women actually can be rabbis? And what does that look like? Well, it's complicated.
I teach in Maharat, so I believe right. that women can be rabbis, that women should be rabbis. Exactly how they're going to break into the, you know, into the synagogue mode and actually be rabbis, I think that's yet to, you know, to be seen. We don't know the answer to that yet.
Rabbi Mintz is among a certain group of Orthodox rabbis that particularly believe in and encourage the participation of women in Orthodox services and even rabbinical studies. With no written law prohibiting women from becoming rabbis and no central religious figure like the Pope to make conclusive decisions, there was nothing stopping Rabbi Avi Weiss from founding Yeshivat Maharat, the first and only Orthodox rabbinical seminary for women, back in 2009. Maharat's mission is to educate, ordain, and invest in passionate and committed Orthodox women. Since its founding, the seminary has ordained 26 women, and while a handful have gone on to become the leader of what they claim to be a modern Orthodox community, there has been and still is strong pushback from the rest of the community. The Rabbinical Council of America and the Orthodox Union have both come out with hardline stances against women being ordained or serving on the clergy of an Orthodox institution. And just 37% of modern Orthodox Jews fully support the idea of women having an expanded role in the clergy. With this in mind, Rabbi Mintz admits that getting the majority of the Orthodox community on board will take time, even though his congregation welcomed a female rabbinic intern with open arms just a few years back.
Our synagogue is a unique model because it's small. It's people who are kind of like-minded in terms of their attitude towards orthodoxy and towards women. So they were very receptive to her. But that doesn't mean that beyond the shul, you know, that people felt the same way. I think eventually there'll be women rabbis in shuls. But I think this is a very slow process.
In order to increase the participatory role of women in the service, Susan recognizes that it's up to her and those who feel the same way to voice their opinions and to actually participate in services like Darchei Noam so that they can get the ball rolling.
I think that change takes a very long time. If you look at other movements in the country, if you look at the civil rights movement or going back in time, if you look at the suffragette movement, any of those movements, things don't happen overnight. And I think it's important for people like myself who believe in change and change for women to participate so that the men in charge, the rabbis and the community educators understand how we feel.